Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have paid attention to the words of James for a couple of sermons, we have been reminded of the importance of the Word of God for the life of faith. Verse 18, you recall, mentioned how we have been brought forth by the Word of truth. Reminds us of, you could say, the regenerating power, as Peter calls it. It is the Word of God is the seed of regeneration. Then in verse 21, James spoke about the implanted Word, because God's Word is not just something outside of us, really, the way it works. It becomes part of us. It gets into us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, God's Word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. And so we were reminded of the importance also for a Christian to receive that implanted word with meekness, because we have to absorb that word. It's there, given to us, but we also have to listen carefully, humbly, and thankfully. As it comes to us also through the weekly preaching of the gospel, as it comes also through our own personal reading of the scriptures. But hearing, however, is not the end of the matter. Also was brought out previously when we talked about the fact that really hearing should always lead to obedience, to doing. What we hear must be turned into deeds. Now that we have to turn what we hear into deeds is also the focus of our text for this morning. And James, you can notice, comes across rather strongly on this particular point. And his words bring out that we are prone to self-deception on this particular point, really kind of a theme that works its way through this whole letter, because James is really focusing also on turn these words into deeds. And after then also exposing self-deception, he impresses on us the need to be diligent, to really concentrate our effort on doing also what we hear. And he brings out that if we do that, we will be blessed, that we also may grow in being doers of the word, and not only hearers. I proclaim to you, therefore, this morning, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. And James shows us, first of all, that hearing without doing is self-deception. Secondly, doing requires concentrated effort. And thirdly, doing will be richly blessed. And we turn our attention, therefore, to our first point. Hearing without doing is self-deception. And this needs our attention, needs to be reflected upon, because we may come across as being good hearers, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we are a good doer. And the sad thing is that we might not even realize this inconsistency. Or perhaps we are able to recount many different passages from the scriptures. Some people have this amazing memory about sermons, what ministers said when and where and exactly what he said. And also we may be able to discuss our Christian faith very knowledgeably. But, of course, the big question is that while you may have your head full of knowledge, what do you do with it? Now, we do touch kind of a sore spot here, brothers and sisters. You know, at times you may have heard it as well that Reformed people, sometimes people make that accusation, Reformed people, they can talk quite piously, but they say they don't always live so piously. And sometimes that there's effort then to even cover up a multitude of sins by saying, well, but at least we have the correct doctrine. And so it seems the times that those, and we have to say it to our shame, that those who with whom we disagree about their correctness of doctrine, we think that that is deficient. We do have to admit at times that they kind of come across as more sincere and dedicated in their Christian living at times. And you hear these accusations, and sometimes that stings, because, yeah, there is a degree of truth in that. They seem to have more enthusiasm, they seem to have more zeal, more commitment, more warmth, more openness just to talk about their faith with anybody at any time. And then the sentiment is sometimes expressed, well, maybe we don't have to focus so much anymore about correct doctrine. That's not really that important, is it? Just focus on correct living. As long as you live according to the Bible, who really cares what your viewpoint and understanding of the various parts are? And so you get that kind of a contrast between doctrine and life. Or to put it in our words of our text, between hearing the word and doing the word. Now, well, that might seem kind of appealing. Hey, let's stop talking about all this doctrine. Only it's going to bring division. Let's just focus on doing. Of course, we have to realize that this contrast is a false dilemma. You can't excuse unscriptural doctrine by saying that at least, well, one is living closer to what the Bible seems to suggest. At the same time, we can't excuse even poor unscriptural living by saying that at least our doctrine is closer to the Bible. Because James' words remind us that it is not one or the other, but both are intricately related. Really, first, we must hear the word. We must hear it correctly. We must rightly come to know God, as also we confess, for example, in the Catechism with respect to Lord's Day 1 and Lord's Day 34 and the First Commandment. Rightly come to know God humbly. And that is really the foundation for also becoming doers of the word. Because the message of God's word may not just stay in our head, but it also must be worked out concretely in our daily actions. Because the one without the other, either way, really is kind of a monster. It is distorted. It's not really the way God has worked his work of redemption and wants to work his work of redemption. For if we hear but don't do, that is wrong. But likewise, if we do but we have not carefully heard, that's also wrong. As a matter of fact, how can you really do what is right if you haven't really carefully listened to what God has said in the first place? You might think you're doing what God wants and may have the appearance, but really, holiness without faith or works without faith is not really holiness, as we also find in the letter to the Hebrews. And so when we listen, we should realize that really faith, and faith in that sense is first of all what we believe, also the correct understanding of God's word, radically affects our life. For when you repent truly, when there's true repentance or conversion, that just changes everything. Because repentance is a redirection of life. In unbelief, you walk one way, but then you repent and say, that's the wrong way altogether. And you don't make a half turn, you make a complete turn back towards the Lord. It should be clear that if you confess that Jesus Christ has made you a new creation, then also you have to strive to live as a new creation. And James indicates that if we do not see that connection, then between hearing and doing, between confessing and living, then he says you are deceiving yourselves. And really, we still are under the influence of the deceiver, who whispers sweet things into our ears, and it's always very appealing and attractive, but we are deceiving ourselves. So what it comes down to is we must not only hold the correct doctrine, showing we have listened carefully to the implanted word, but also then we must live the correct doctrine. Because that really in the end becomes, you could say, the proof of the pudding. The proof of the pudding, you say, is in the eating. Well, how do you know someone has truly absorbed the Christian faith? Look at how he lives. Does that show that he understands or she understands the gospel? Now, to emphasize the importance of turning hearing into doing, James uses the example of looking into a mirror. Now, of course, we have to keep in mind that back in those days, they didn't have those nice mirrors like we have today, where you have a very clear reflection of yourself, but it is more that they had mirrors from beaten metal, polished up and stuff like that. And so you would not see as clear an image of yourself as we are kind of used to. You know, for comparison, just, you know, sometimes when you go to a restroom somewhere in a campground or in a washroom facility in a gas station, then they have mirrors on the wall, which actually are kind of polished stainless steel, because people go there and they damage things, and this you can't damage. But you know, when you look in those mirrors, well, you can see yourself, and you can kind of see whether maybe you have a smudge on your face or whether your hair is right, but you can't see yourself that clearly. Or think of trying to look at yourself in your mother's best pan. It's still a reflection, but not that good a reflection. Now, James points out how it is when you look in a mirror. You, even if you look intently, now think about it, you know, this kind of fuzzy image you're going to get because their mirrors are not so clear as ours, you will see yourself. And even though you look carefully, when you go away again from the mirror, then, well, you kind of quickly forget. You might even think, no, yeah, I think when I looked in the mirror, my hair was all right, but is it still? Did I walk to the door? Did it kind of blow out of place because the wind kind of caught me? Or do I still have a smudge? Did I pick some other dirt up? You don't really know. So you forget, even though you may have looked intently. Now, James makes the point that those who are hearers of the word, but not doers, they are like people like that who had looked in the mirror. And of course, when they heard, they may have paid attention. They may even have agreed wholeheartedly because they seem to listen intently, given their amen. But then they walk away and, well, it's kind of all forgotten. If you ask an hour later, what was it about? Maybe they can recall, but maybe not. Enter the ears, but it didn't make it to the mind. It didn't then continue from the mind into what we say is the heart, that is the control center of our life. And do you see then also, brothers and sisters, the big danger that James is warning us about? For hearing is nothing without doing. Our Lord Jesus Christ also said at one time, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Or, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That goes together. And so we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, how is it with us? If you consider all the things you have heard through your personal reading, you know, we can read the Bible a lot home, so listening to all the preaching over the years, can we honestly say, yes, I am a doer of the word and not only a hearer? Just think, when it comes to all the encouraging things that you have heard, even if you learned them as you heard them in catechism class, you had to memorize many of those wholesome, encouraging phrases in the Lord's days. Do we always translate that into confident, joyful Christian living when we face the various crises of life, or all of a sudden then we seem to have forgotten everything? All the words about God's sovereignty, about his providence, about his care, do we carry that with us into the difficulties and challenges of life? And when it comes to all the instructions and the practical exhortations and the admonitions received, do we always go home and say, you know, the minister really put me on the spot today when he explained that part of Scripture, and now I have to go home and implement that. I cannot wait anymore till tomorrow. No, I have to make changes in my life. Does it ever happen that you listen to a sermon and you say, yes, the minister really explained God's word, now I have to change, and indeed everyone can see it in your life that you have made changes? Can office bearers, when they come, you know, we're again at the time of the year when there are the annual family visits, can they also see? Perhaps having talked in the family about a certain way of going about things one year, and then they come back the next year, do they see change? Do they say, yes, people here truly not only were hearers, but they were doers? Do they see fruit of faith in the way we live? For brothers and sisters, let us take to heart James' words. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, for then you deceive yourself. It's not those who say, Lord, Lord, who will inherit the kingdom, but those who do the will of God's, of our Father in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ stressed that too. And as James will also stress later on in the next chapter, faith without works is dead. And so we do well to carefully examine ourselves, to see if perhaps we have lulled ourselves into a state of self-deception, thinking we are good Christians, while really we are not. For we have not done all that much with all that we have heard over all the years of our lives. And so we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But of course, that's easier said than done. And that takes us to our second point, how doing requires concentrated effort. Now, when James continues in verse 25, he carries through the image of that man looking into a mirror, as he speaks about looking into the perfect law of God. We've seen that before. He uses a certain word, and he keeps working that theme a little bit, develops the theme. Here he does that again, mirror theme, looking, also now looking into the law of God. But now, it's interesting that when he speaks about looking into the law of God, he uses a different word than he used for looking into a mirror. It's the same kind of term that we find in connection with the resurrection of our Savior, where we read in John 20, for example, that Peter and Mary came to the grave, and they stooped, and they looked in. They kind of gazed into what was found there, what no longer was found in the tomb. And that way of expressing itself makes clear that there is an intent looking, almost to the sense of staring, of gazing, trying to capture all the details. That's far different from even looking intently into the mirror. It's a whole different kind of level. Now, what is it that we should be looking into intensely? Well, James says we need to look into the perfect law. Makes us think of the commandments, although we can extend it to all God's instructions for living as his children. It's noteworthy that here the focus especially seems to be on the law, the commandments which teach us how to live. And then Paul says this is the law, or James says this is the law of liberty. It's for those who know about their salvation in Jesus Christ. And when you follow this law, it is done in freedom, a new freedom in the Spirit. And when you follow this law, you also stay free from falling back into the bondage to sin and the devil. Because this is how you live under the grace of God. But to become doers of this law, and we sang about that law too, Psalm 119, that requires effort. It's true that through our spiritual rebirth, you know, the law has become implanted, the word has become implanted, inscribed on the tablets of our heart, not just on tablets of stone. But just the same, we must get to work in faith to learn what God really wants from us. For we know that the Spirit teaches us that, not just by a bolt of lightning touching our heart and say, that's how you do it. No, but through the Word. God always works through His Word. And so we need to focus our attention on that Word. For it's given to us not just to have a nice place in our drawer in the kitchen. It's pulled out for Bible reading. Not a nice place on the shelf even. No, but it's to be used. We've come across the expression before from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that God's word is there to make us wise for salvation and for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And now we know that it takes time to become familiar with the word. In that respect, you know, it is best to start as young as possible. It's one of the beauties also of family customs of reading the Bible. Even when the children, you think, can't understand yet, you know, they sit at the table in the high chair, they're hearing. When they get older, maybe sometimes a children's Bible, but the children are always exposed. That's a beautiful thing. It's important. Get the children exposed to the Word because there is a lot to learn, a lot to be absorbed. And really, we also know, you know, ask brothers and sisters who are in their 80s, even hitting 90s, they say, well, you never know at all. And even when you read the Bible again, you know, every time you read it, you learn something new, or you learn how much you have forgotten, because there's so much in there. And so no matter how much and how long we study, really, we are never finished with the Word of God, also by learning His perfect law. Now, James also speaks of looking into the law and persevering. And so, indeed, to become familiar with the law of God, we must gaze at it intently. We have to mull over it. Meditate on it, you know, meditate. Let the words kind of roll around in your mind, and as you try to figure out what God actually is teaching, the phrases should fill our lives more and more. For in that respect, you know, well, the basics of the Bible might be simple, but we should not think that everything can be learned just the first time, and many things are not really learned till we face a situation where we say, now what does the Word of God teach us about this? And you know how it goes then, that we have to compare Scripture with Scripture, careful thought given to where is something in the plan of salvation. When you read something in Genesis, you have to keep in mind, how does that fit within the picture of the whole Bible? When you read something in Ephesians, how does that also tie back to all that has been revealed before? It takes effort. Concentrated thinking about the Bible. It's not just a matter of reading a phrase and a sentence, oh yeah, I got it. No. People make a lot of silly mistakes. And it might sound very pious, you know, they take phrases like, well, whatever you ask of the Lord in prayer, He will give to you. And somebody says, I wouldn't mind a second car. Would be nice, you know, in case the first car breaks down. That sounds pious. I should ask for it, and God will give it to me. Isn't what the Bible says? Ask, and it shall be given to you. Well, of course, you have to keep in mind, that's within the context of all that we need in order to serve God according to His commandments. You have to think about it within the context of the whole Scriptures. As I said, otherwise, all kind of silly mistakes, silly conclusions, which sound pious, but really are just pious nonsense. And so when it comes to living as Christians in the world today, we have to study God's Word carefully. But we also recognize that the Bible does not give exact instructions for every concrete situation we might face. Because think about it, you know, the Bible was written a long time ago. Words and phrases in a different culture, different time. Even that sense, you know, you think about it, every Sunday again we hear in the 10th commandment, we shall not covet our neighbor's donkey or his servants. But we might think, well, none of my neighbors has a donkey. I don't really want a donkey. What's that all about? You know, you have to, but then you have to think, okay, the Lord is teaching us principles in the commandments that are timeless, even though they might be expressed in words that are time-bound to a degree. And of course, then we begin to think, now how do we work with things about the ninth commandment, not bearing false witness, or about not coveting in a time when we have social media, when we could easily bear false witness about someone by just a few clicks of our finger and send it away, or when we think of an age in which we have so many things that come our ways in terms of you need this, you need that, and we covet like crazy, just like that. But we think, okay, it might not be the neighbor's donkey, but all kinds of things can indeed come to mind. So you have to think that through. What are the principles the Lord lays down, and how do I apply that in the various concrete situations of life? But we must remember that in the end it is God's law that shows us the way to healthy Christian life on the personal level, life as community. How do you live as a community of believers? Well, you go to God's Word. You learn how to live as a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our general life, we learn from the commandments what indeed is the way how God has created us and how we should be living. But we have to persevere. Keep on studying. Keep on working at it so that we may be doers of the Word in our day and age. And we understand well that this is going to take concentrated effort. And also here again, we have to ask ourselves, what do we see when we examine ourselves. Do we see in our own life, our life together as brothers and sisters, a real zealous digging into God's Word to understand what it teaches us about our salvation and how we should live in thankfulness for our salvation? Our men and women societies bursting at the seams? Maybe the women's societies more than the men's societies, but what about other societies, young people's societies, or also the small groups? You know, there may be many who go to those things, but could there be more? Is there something that we are involved in that we can indeed not only hear God's word and study it together and learn on a Sunday, but also in many other situations? What are we doing with respect to personal faith formation? Are we developing our understanding or refreshing our understanding and growing in our understanding? Do we buy good books, good Christian books? You know, when we see an ad in the Clarion for a new book, do we say, ah, the next birthday, can you get that book, please, for me? I would like that. I'd like to read that. Or do we think of giving books like that to our family members, to our children? Do we make a point of saying, you know, I should read magazines like Clarion, Christian Renewal, Christian magazines that give me a sense of what's going on, magazines that will also help me to understand the issues of the day, that give food for thought and how to apply the scriptures? Or in that respect, when the elders come and they kind of look around the family and they say, well, no books anywhere and no magazines laying around anywhere. What is being done here for personal faith formation? What are parents making available for their children to kind of stumble over to see when they have a few spare moments? Oh, maybe I should pick up Clarion. Might be interesting. Is that found in the families? That's all part of gazing intently into the perfect law of God, to learn about God and His Word, to grow in understanding. So don't be surprised this year when the brothers come and they start looking around and say, brothers and sisters, what are you reading? What kind of material are you using to grow in your faith, to form your faith? You might know, that's even our theme for the year, faith formation. So things you can indeed expect to be asked about. For indeed, brothers and sisters, where are we at as congregation, as individuals? Can we indeed sincerely sing a psalm like 119? In the ways of your commandments I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. You know, we sang some of those words. Or behold, I long for your precepts, or your statutes have been my songs. That's indeed how it is. You know, we sing those kind of verses, but do we indeed do it? So we sing it, we hear, but do we do it? Is it so in our lives? God's word challenges us on this. And so to be doers, we must be busy looking into the perfect law of God. And when we do that, there awaits us blessed results. That's our last point. Now, at first you may think that it sounds like we must kind of earn our salvation, as if receiving blessings depends upon our efforts. But to avoid any thought of talking about earning salvation, let's keep in mind the overall context of James' words. He was not writing in an evangelistic setting to people trying to persuade them to be Christians. He was writing to Christians, to those, you could say, who were part of God's covenant people, the New Testament covenant people. To go back to verse 18, when he mentioned how God had given, it's already a reality, he had given birth to his readers. And the word had been implanted. So he's not speaking about how to get into the covenant relationship, but he's saying, well, you are part of it. That's why he's writing to them. Also the way, as a minister, when you preach, you're not preaching to persuade people to become Christians, you're preaching to Christians, those who belong to God's people. So work this out, he says, basically within this relationship that you have. Just like Paul could tell the Philippians, you know, work out your own salvation. That little work out didn't say work for your salvation, work out because God is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. So, in that respect, we even confess in connection with prayer, Lord's Day 45, that God will only give his grace and Holy Spirit to those who unceasingly thank him for these gifts and ask him for them. Of course, this simply echoes the teaching of the Old Testament. There's always unity between the Testaments, that if we walk in the way of covenant obedience, the Lord will bless us. Think of Deuteronomy 28, where there is a long list of blessings upon obedience of walking in the covenant ways. Or we think of the Psalms. Think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. You see, the blessing that comes upon following the way of the Lord, the living, doing what you hear. Psalm 25, verse 12 to 14. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Again, that promise of blessing. It's also the last song in our worship service today, and also the song right after the sermon. You'll notice again, the blessing upon those who walk in the way of the Lord was the theme of Psalm 111 as well. Blessing of those who walk in the ways of the Lord. For you see, our God calls us to obedience, and he is pleased to shower us with his blessings upon in response to that covenant obedience. It's clear in the Old Testament, has not changed in the New Testament. That's why we can keep on singing all those Old Testament psalms that make that connection, the blessing upon the Lord, upon those who seek humbly and thankfully to walk in his way. Now, when we speak of being blessed, then don't make the mistake of thinking that must mean we're all going to get rich. We're not having a kind of health and wealth gospel. For blessings will include having our needs provided for. True, that's part of it. But it also means learning to be content, learning to experience the joy of faith, being at peace and having the peace that surpasses all understanding. It was like the Apostle Paul could write about in Philippians when he was sitting in prison. He was blessed by God because he loved the Lord, sought to walk in the way of the Lord. And even in prison, not a problem. Oh yeah, he would like maybe to be able to serve people for a little while longer, but if he would die, that would be even better because he'd be with the Lord. But he learned to be content in all circumstances. That's a blessing of the Lord. Contentment, no matter what the circumstances may be. And so, imprinted on your heart, brothers and sisters, if you wish to be blessed, then be doers of the word, not hearers only. And in that respect, if you sense that you lack the Lord's blessing over your life, and we're not talking about material things, that's just part of it, but in the sense that, for example, that you don't experience contentment, that you don't always have that sense of peace and comfort and assurance, then maybe ask yourselves, am I deceiving myself? Am I really only a hearer and not a doer? For the Lord is pleased to see his children keep his word, because it shows that they have taken his word to heart. And God's promise is that the doer who acts will be blessed in his doing. Amen.